One of the side issues that can arise among people learning to manage their diabetes is depression. But is it a cause or an effect? A new study is looking at the links between diabetes and depression, and they're trying to tease out an answer. Dr. Mary DeGroot is a psychologist who specializes in endocrinology. She's leading that study. Dr. DeGroot, welcome to Sound Medicine.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So you're a psychologist with a focus on our endocrine system, an array of very important glands in our body. How do the mind and this hormonal system affect each other?
We've been learning a lot about diabetes and the emotional aspects of diabetes for about 25 years now. My area of interest is diabetes and depression, so a particular cluster of emotional symptoms. People with depression typically feel depressed or down most of the day, nearly every day. They may have lost interest in things they would normally enjoy. And with those symptoms come other symptoms, such as decrease or increased appetite, changes in sleep, loss of concentration or ability to make decisions easily, feelings of worthlessness or excessive feelings of guilt, and a loss of energy. So I work with people around a couple of different areas. One is to help people to work on managing their diabetes more effectively. And over time, that can become difficult. And there's a concept called diabetes burnout that was first coined by Dr. William Polonsky at University of California, San Diego. And so clinically, I work with people around those kinds of issues, as well as depression and anxiety that can go hand in hand with diabetes.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about the diabetic burnout. What would constitute that?
Yeah, we've been learning of a lot about diabetes in general. One of the things we know is that we're in the midst of a diabetes epidemic. So 2 out of 3 adults right now in the U.S. are either overweight or obese. That is a significant risk factor for the development of type 2 diabetes. Unfortunately, that trend continues. 1 in 3 children that were born after the year 2000 are likely, very highly likely, to go on to develop type 2 diabetes as adults. So we have an epidemic of diabetes. We've been learning that diabetes and depression go hand in hand. So 1 in 4 adults who have type 1 or type 2 diabetes. Type 1 typically onsets in childhood. Type 2 diabetes is what we typically think of as adult onset diabetes. 1 in 4 adults with diabetes will experience elevated depressive symptoms at some point in their lifetime. And when diabetes and depression go together, they make both disorders that much more difficult. So diabetes is tough to manage to begin with. It requires daily management of food, of medications, of exercise, regular doctor's appointments, checking one's feet to make sure that they stay healthy, and other kinds of self-care behaviors, checking blood sugars, for example. But what can happen over time is that people get worn down by that daily routine because there are so many behaviors that are involved in good diabetes self-care. And so that can result for some people in diabetes burnout. For other people, that can result in depression. And the two are not mutually exclusive. So people can feel burned out and feeling depressed. We haven't figured out what exactly triggers what in terms of the diabetes and depression relationship. We now know that it's a bidirectional relationship. So depression can increase the risk of diabetes, and diabetes increases the risk of depression. The actual mechanisms that underlie that relationship are not yet clear. But there are some things we do know. One of the things we know is that when people have diabetes and then they have depression on top of that, it's much more difficult to manage blood sugars. So there is a tendency for blood sugars to run higher for many people. And for some people, it means that their blood sugars fluctuate more excessively than they would when they're not feeling depressed. So for example, when people are depressed, frequently they may want to eat more comfort foods. Comfort foods tend to be higher in fat, higher in sweets. And if there's not good matching between medications, such as oral medications for type 2 diabetes or insulin, and there's a mismatch between medications and food, that's going to contribute to changing blood sugar levels. So we know on the whole that people tend to have higher blood sugar levels when they have depression and diabetes combined, and that there's also more fluctuations in those blood sugars.
I'm speaking with Dr. Mary DeGroot, an associate professor of medicine at the IU School of Medicine, and we're talking about her new study involving links between diabetes and depression. So is it the diabetes that causes the depression?
That's a great question.
Or vice
versa.
That's
actually a multi-million dollar question to which we don't yet know the answer. Clinically, we used to assume that, well, diabetes is so difficult that anyone who developed diabetes might experience depression. And so our assumption was that the diabetes came first and then depression followed. The good news about that assumption is that part of it was wrong. And what we have learned is that only 1 in 4 people will experience depression. So not everyone who has diabetes will experience depression. We've also learned that the reverse has turned out to be true, that people who have a lifetime history of depression have an increased risk of developing type 2 diabetes later in life.
And now, why is that?
That's about a 38% increased risk. What's really interesting about that finding, which has now been confirmed by 3 different international studies, is that that relationship between a lifetime history of depression and type 2 diabetes later in life is accounted for even after you account for other common factors. Common factors to diabetes and depression are things like obesity, living in poverty. Women have an increased risk of toward obesity as well as depression. After you account for those other factors, we still see this increased risk. And so that raises a lot of interesting questions that we don't yet have the answer to yet about why that may be the case. And we have many different theories about that, but we don't yet have definitive evidence to support one theory over another.
Well, it seems like you said that the self-care that is required to control diabetes is extensive, and it would cause burnout, and it could cause depression. So how do you help those people through?
Yes. I've been studying diabetes and depression for about 25 years now, and one of the reasons that I focus on it in part is because it affects so many people. And the other piece is that there's good news about diabetes and depression, so I always like to talk about that. And the good news is that we have effective ways of treating depression, but many people don't necessarily know about that. We have learned that different ways of treating depression are effective in treating both depression and helping people manage their diabetes in people with type 1 and type 2 diabetes. So, for example, one effective form of treatment is called talk therapy or cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. And talk therapy is a here-and-now, skills-based approach to helping people manage depressive symptoms and the thoughts, feelings, and behaviors that go hand-in-hand all together in depression. And so we have learned that when people were randomly assigned to either talk therapy or to diabetes education, but everyone had depression, the people who received the talk therapy had significant improvements in their depression compared to people who received diabetes education. That's not to say anything against diabetes education, but diabetes education is there to teach people about diabetes, not necessarily to treat depression. So we know that CBT works. We've also been learning in the general population that exercise can be a very effective form of treating depression. As we continue to do it, it continues to be effective in managing our mood. So I'm currently doing a study now called Program ACTIVE. ACTIVE is an acronym for Adults Coming Together to Increase Vital Exercise. And in this study, we're testing the combined effectiveness of talk therapy, 10 sessions of talk therapy, and combining that with 12 weeks of community-based exercise. And in this study, we're combining these two approaches to see if we can get even better improvements in depression as well as overall glycemic control or average blood glucose level, comparing that to exercise alone, talk therapy alone, and usual care.
So who are you looking for in terms of participants?
We're looking for many people, and we hope that people will give us a call to find out more about the study. We're looking for adults age 18 and older, people who have had a medical diagnosis of type 2 diabetes for at least 1 year, people who will be approved by their primary care doctor to participate in an exercise study so that we know that the exercise that people do, which is at the low to moderate levels, will be safe for them and their medical status as they are right now. We're also looking for people who are currently experiencing depression. So if people are experiencing sad or blue mood most of the day, nearly every day, sometimes that may be combined with feelings of lack of interest in things people would normally enjoy and have had a consistent experience with that for at least 2 weeks, we would like to hear from those folks.
Well, we know that diabetes is an epidemic. How about depression in this country? Are we seeing at least some leveling off, or is depression going up as fast as diabetes is going up?
Depression in general has not risen at the same level as diabetes. Diabetes is at epidemic proportions and continues to rise. Unfortunately, we're also seeing that trend not only here in the U.S., but we're also seeing it globally. So countries such as India, China, countries in Africa are seeing unprecedented rates of type 2 diabetes as economies modernize, as dietary choices change. And so we're seeing much higher rates of the development of diabetes than we're seeing of depression. But the rising tide raises all boats. So when we know that diabetes and depression go hand in hand, we then realize that depression for people with diabetes will also increase. And so part of what inspired us to put together this study, Program Active, has been to demonstrate that we have effective outlets for treating depression and diabetes that are complementary to healthcare. So they're not meant to take away from healthcare in any way, but they can work hand in hand with healthcare so that people have additional options and can make use of resources in their communities.
Well, Mary DeGroot, thank you so much for talking with me on Sound Medicine, and good luck.
Thank you.
Dr. Mary DeGroot is an associate professor of medicine at the IU School of Medicine. We'll post more information about who is eligible to participate in that diabetes study. It'll be at our new and improved website, soundmedicine.org.